the body here. The first message we had today, we talked about the local church as a family. Dealt with that. We talked about how, you know, you're a family here under the household of faith and in the same house, the house of God, the church of living God, the pillar of the ground of the truth, that's what God has made us. Then we talked about the church as a body. We went through Romans chapter 12, but there's more verses and more on the body here that kind of explains it in better detail here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Or we shouldn't say better detail, just different. It covers it from a different angle and kind of complements the other. So does Ephesians 4. So I'm hoping we get over there too as well. And he says here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Amen. Now, he's going to start getting this. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but watch this. But the same Spirit. All of us have the same Spirit. If you're saved by the grace of God, we might have diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Amen. He says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. That's very interesting as well. I think that opens up to a lot right there when he talks about administrations and things. That's why each church is a little bit different too. These things just a little bit different. Now, all has to be done biblically, by the way. You can't say, well, we just want to be different and break God's law. You can't do that or break the word of God. You can't, well, I'm just going to be different, be diverse. Well, your diversity can't go against Scripture. Otherwise, you violated the book. You can't do that either and say, well, I'm just going to be different. And there are differences of administration of the same Lord. Same Lord. Same Spirit, same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Differences in operations, the way they do a few things, the way they handle things. But it's the same God. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So now he's going to get into it. He's starting to get into it. He's starting to get into the body now. He's going to start digging into it a little bit. It's to profit, he says. He says it's given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given. Now I want you to notice something in this. I want you to notice this phrase. By the Spirit. Watch this. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Who's the one that gives it? The Spirit. Who gives the gift? The Spirit does. He is the one. He is the one that gives a man a word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So he goes into these gifts. Now, I believe that these gifts are temporary gifts that he talks about. I believe we can see that. What they were given for, the purpose they were given for. Number one, they were given to evangelize Israel, to show them that they needed to repent, that God was going to take them and put them into the same body as Gentiles together into that local assembly, local church, same Spirit. To another faith. Okay, so he says this. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So, you know, you might want a gift, but maybe God didn't give it to you. And that's why when these guys say, well, everybody speaks in tongues. Now, the tongues that these people speak is gibberish. It's not the tongues of the Bible. If you go through the Scriptures, tongues are a language. And by the way, he says, if though a man speak with the tongues of angels. He didn't say there was a language of angels, by the way. He's putting up a hypothetical, but that's another story. We'll get into that later some other time. But that's what he's saying. For as the body is, oh, let me back up here. Excuse me. But all these work at that one and selfsame spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Well, who's he talking to? The church at Corinth. What did he start out telling the church at Corinth? There's schisms in the body. One says, I was baptized by Paul. I was baptized by Apollos. I like Apollos' preaching. I don't like Paul's preaching. Apollos, he's refined. Paul, he's crude in speech. I don't like the way he does this. I like this guy. I like this. I don't like this. He says, wait a minute. No, this is all the same spirit. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, no, no. What's he saying here? He's bringing it down from these first 11 chapters, and he's saying, you're missing it. This is a body. You, Corinthians, you're a body. You're the church at Corinth. You're a body. You're missing it. You're trying to act in part, but not together as one. Everybody's going about their own direction, but not together. But all these work at that one selfsame spirit. For as the body is one and hath many members, one body, many members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. He says, yeah, there's a lot of members and there's a lot of gifts by the Spirit. But you're one body. Now, we're not one body with everybody in the world. Well, you can't have unity like that. Every Christian in the world, no, you're not one body like that. You're the family of God like that, the whole family in heaven and earth. You're brothers and sisters in Christ, but you're not one body. Because it'd be impossible to gather millions and millions of people together on this earth and say, well, okay, now you all be in one accord. We don't even know each other. How can I be in one accord with the guy down the road? How can I have the same mind? We're not. No, he's talking to these Corinthians. This local church, the problems that they were having there. Remember, they wrote unto him and he is correcting all their errors all the way through and admonishing them and trying to give them edification and teach them and train them all the way. Read first. Don't just take one verse and pop it out and say, well, I'm part of that invisible church. Don't do that. No, you're not. Part of the family of God. Yeah, we're all part of the family of God that are saved, born again believers. All right. He says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, one, same Spirit, you're all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentiles, we'll be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, he's not talking about a universal, visible body that doesn't exist. It doesn't have any practical. By the way, if 1 Corinthians 12 was dealing, and 13, by the way, was dealing with a mystical, invisible body, there would be no way that body could work together. Because none of them are together. They don't have anything to do with each other. What is he teaching? He's teaching a local church how the body works. Whether you agree with whether you might say, no, I think he's talking about a visit. Okay, well, for practicality's sake, let me give you another application then. I'll put it that way. So ease your mind. You hold on to your other application. This is the mystical, invisible one. And just take this secondary application then and use it for profit then, because he is speaking to people directly. And he is speaking to a church. He wrote this letter to people. Remember, this is a letter that he wrote. We think of it, oh, no, they just all walked around with this King James Bible in their hand. This is how it was. Everybody had one. No, they didn't. They didn't have this. They had the Old Testament. So when he sent these letters were written for their admonition. He would send those letters. He said, this is to correct you and to guide you and direct you. This is how God's Spirit says to do this. I mean, we're trying to get way ahead of ourselves in thinking that they had that. They didn't have this. They were getting this. Exactly. Uh-oh. All right. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So if one of those parts of the body says, well, you know, I'm not that important. I'm not the hand. I am not the hand. I am not of the body. Well, you know, if I'm not out in the front, if I'm not the one being used all the time, then I must not be part of the body. No, you missed it. No, you are part of it. I don't know what part, but you're part of it. Amen? Because he just said that. He says, I am not the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You can't live outside of that. Be a part of that or be a member of that body and then act independently outside of that and live your lives outside of that. No, God made you part of the body by what? By the Spirit. The Spirit leads you to that body. Amen. Leads you there. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body. Okay, the ear, he says, he talks about that. I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Listen, if the whole body was the same, I mean, the whole body was one big giant eye, you weren't going to get anything done, right? You can't function in a body like, a body can't function just being an eyeball. Right, Brother Paul? Can't function like that. If all you were was a big old eyeball, you couldn't walk, you couldn't move. All you could do is sit there and stare. It'd be a hideous thing. That's right, absolutely. So is a body that has its members that aren't attached. They're missing. If they're not functioning in the body. See? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? You're going to be in trouble if you're missing those senses, if you're missing those part of the body. You know, sometimes we want to complain about the way things are, but if we're not there to help out, how can we complain? If we're not there to fix it, if we're not there to edify one another, which we're going to get to. If you bail out, how can you help if you're part of that body? Can you? Oh, you're going to fix it by complaining about it? Just being outside of it and complaining about it? Oh, that'll fix it. No, that just stokes your own ego. Oh, I'm better than that body. So you're an ear out there hanging out, not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. God set them in there. You ask me, do you believe that God sent Brother Paul here and his family here? Well, absolutely I do. I believe he set him in the body. I believe he led him here by the Spirit of God. And he led him here and set him in the body for a reason, for a purpose, for his purpose and his reason. I didn't know that. I didn't even really know Brother Paul preached on the streets. I had no idea we were going to start really evangelizing on the streets. God just had it come all together. At the same time, why? Because he places in the body. He does that work. I didn't plan any of that. I didn't plan any of that. I didn't plan for God to send a Brother Russ this way, a 50-year-old man to come here and a 37-year-old man to ordain him. I didn't plan any of that. I wouldn't have worked out in my mind any. It wasn't my plan. God sets in the body. You better be careful about telling God what he should do. No, God is too tough. I'm bailing. This is too hard. Better not do that. And you're saying God made a mistake. He must have messed up somewhere. No, God does make mistakes. Just like when I think about yesterday, Brother Paul and I preaching, and this drunk man is there. And Brother Paul drives home, and he drives past this sign of Mothers Against Drunk Driving. and there is a butchered car in there that they're showing there with pictures of a butchered baby and are basically a baby that had died because of that. It was delivered in that wreck, yeah. I think the baby made it and the mother died, didn't it, or something like that. The baby made it and the mother died. But don't you think about something for a second. What was God showing him? No, Brother Paul, it's not a mistake to preach up there. It's not a mistake to do what you just did. You see that? It's not a mistake, brother. It's right there. You see what happens? That's why you're doing that. See, God gives us those. He gives us those things to show us. Yeah. That's why we contend with the drunk cussing us out for 2 hours. That's why. Because maybe somebody around him, even if he's not listening, somebody around him is. I don't want to end up like that. Wasn't my plan. Paul Pearson. Didn't know anything about him. I didn't know anything about a lot of those things. I didn't know there'd be a Brother Russ that would say, hey, I can't believe that you actually believe this, and we've been looking for a church to believe this for a long time. God knew. God knew. God knew when a track was placed on Lee's door. His wife was lost. I didn't know. I didn't know that he would join the church. I didn't know as he came and started to come and I mean, the first thing when I had a conversation with Lee and Carrie, one of the first things that Carrie said, I don't really like your church that much. I mean, it was similar. It was something like that. Yeah, she did say that. I mean, I'm not picking on her. I'm just saying that's what she was lost. It was the music. I like that music better is what it was. I like that music better. By the way, I didn't yell at her, did I? I was at their house. When I found out that, and I pretty much knew that she was lost by what she had said. I sent them a picture the other day of the day that we went over there and ate pizza. Lee made this pizza like this thick. It's insane. I don't know what that was. That deep pan. Oh, pan. Anyway. We went over there and, you know, we started talking about our testimonies. And then it came to Carrie. She goes, well, I didn't really grow up that way. I said, well, I would encourage you to look into this. And I let it go. I didn't pressure. I didn't try to run her through a prayer. And it's not, I prayed. I just let it go. And God saved her and brought him into this body. Wasn't my plan. Because God does that. Changed her life. Amen. Wasn't my plan. It was God's. His plan was to leave. Lee was going to leave. He's going to get out of here. Wasn't his plan either. It was God's. But you look at that. That's the practicality of it. But now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. What is this saying? You're not your own. You're bought and paid for with a price. You don't get to just make your own decisions like that. Now, I don't make your decisions for you. God should be the one that guides you in your decisions and make your decisions according to His Word. But you see, sometimes we don't want to. We want to make our own decisions. We want to make our own decisions for ourselves and not follow the Scriptures. And can I tell you that you will make a lot of mistakes making your own decisions? Because you and I are just not that wise. We'll mess up a lot of things. Brother Paul, earlier in the year when that winter was coming down pretty hard and it would not go away, he was ready to leave. That would have been a mistake. So it wasn't God that wanted him to leave. It was the flesh. It was the devil. Why? You think God wants him out there doing what he's doing? Uh-uh. Nope. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Do you understand? You cannot act in a body. We cannot act individually on our own spiritually and go all these different directions. What the Apostle Paul is saying, that, listen, you guys are going, you Corinthians are going in 10 different directions. You're going everywhere. The eye is saying, I don't have to follow the hand. I don't need the hand for anything. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. You can't do that. You can't look at members in the body and think that, well, some are dispensable and some are not. Some are more valuable and some are more important. No. No. Because you know what? The eye needs the hand. And the hand needs the eye. And they got to work together. Nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. It's great to have a head, but it's hard to operate without, it's hard to walk without feet. Or feet to go anywhere without the head telling it to. See how that works? It's all one body, working together. But we are so extremely selfish sometimes. We want to act independently. We trust our own selves and not others. And not God. So we're just, I'll be fine. I don't need any help. I can do this on my own. I can do this. I can do that. I don't need the help of the body. I don't need to bear one of those burdens. I don't need to pray. I don't need anybody to pray for me. I don't want to know what's going on. I don't want. And you just do it yourself. It doesn't work though, does it? Why? Because it can't work. Do you understand that? It can't work. Why? Because God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him, and they were all, if they were all one member, if they were all just one part, no. They are multiple parts working together as one. All speaking the same thing, the same mind, together. Why do you think there's so much power in that church that is unified together, walking in the Lord? Why is there so much power? We're going to find out next week that once that body gets its spiritual armor on, that's why it can go out and battle the devil. Because they've got each individual member has their armor on, and they're ready to go. They can fight. And then they go together, and they war against the devil. Oh, did you think you were just a soldier out there battling on your own by yourself? Just to take your armor out? You don't need, you're not one member together, I mean one body together, warring, walking forward, each part being used together as whole? It doesn't work that way. Why do you think we don't have any power in churches anymore? Because they've lost the concept of the body. And it's all individual. It's all we can battle it ourselves. See, the times that we are coming in and the tyranny that we are facing in the future isn't going to work. Well, but now are they many members, but yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members are necessary. I can't do all this and I can't run like that.
No, but you can pray.
And there used to be, they would ask men like Spurgeon and that, why do you have so much power when you preach? And why do you have so much? Took them down to the basement and they showed them, opened the room door up and showed them. And what was it? A bunch of women and men praying on their knees, on their faces before God, praying that God would anoint the preacher and give him the power. The word of God would run with free course. Maybe you're not the one that runs. You must be the one that prays. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Amen. More abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And those uncomely, they're not attractive. It's like feet. Nobody thinks feet are attractive, right? I mean, not really. I mean, I heard Phil Kidd once, he preached a sermon. Boy, it was a funny one. It made me laugh. I mean, it was good, but it made me laugh. He talked about feet, and he screamed out, put something on your feet, they're ugly! and he was talking about something like what we're talking about now, about the body, and about how the feet are not, I mean, nobody, you know, glorifies in feet. I mean, they're ugly. And they're just goofy looking. They're your feet, you know. They're not. You see some people's toes, they look kind of funny. I mean, they do. They look kind of weird. They got weird toes, you know. Sorry, maybe you got weird toes. I don't know. But they're funny looking. Feet are. They're not that attractive, but they're necessary. But I'll tell you something. You thank God for those feet, don't you? They might be ugly, and they might be funny looking, and they might have been through some wars and everything else. But you thank God for that feet, and you can't walk without those feet, and you need those feet. And they may not be comely, they may not look all pretty, but bless God, they're necessary and they're needed in the body. And that's the way it is in the local church. There are parts of that body, there are members of that body that are needed and necessary. They may not be the most attractive. I don't mean in a physical sense. I mean, spiritually speaking, they may not shine out in front of everybody. But boy, without them, you can't walk. Without them, you can't go fight. You can't have your feet shod if you've got no feet. Amen? Need the feet. You know, there may not be a lot of ladies that are out there hitting the streets and preaching, obviously. But they're back at home, taking care of the kids and encouraging. And they're needed. And what did David say the principle was? Those that go out to battle and those that stay by the stuff have the same reward. That's right. Same reward. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and on our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts, but God hath tempered the body together. Who again? God. God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You see somebody hurting, they need help, you need to help them. Whether it's the pastor, whether it's a member, whether it's the foot, whether it's the hand, whether it's the forehead, whatever it is. They need attention, you give it to them. Although that's not just speaking of the pastor being the one that gives them the attention. It's a body. You, together, when you see that, you give care to that member. Amen. It says here, but that the members should have the same care one for another. that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. If one of you is going through a trial of your life and suffering, if one of you has sin in your life, if one of you has a problem in your life, if one of you are battling things in your life, that affects the whole body. The whole body suffers. Oh no, nobody knows. Really? You think so? I took one look at his face today and knew there was something wrong with him. Why? Because I know him. I've known him for 7 years. I know when something's bothering him. But he knows the same of me. Because I know him. And he has struggles. And he has problems, just like everybody else does. And he needs prayer just like everybody else. It says here, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, we will honor our brother here in another week and ordain him for the gospel ministry. We all rejoice in that. I don't know who the next man is. Could be one of the men in this room that God may. Amen. I don't know. Could be any one of them. That's right. I don't know. I'm not God, but He knows. But we rejoice. When one is honored, we rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. He's talking about His order. First apostles. By the way, did you know that apostles does mean sent one? Do you know that? We think that term is just dealing with the original apostles that saw Christ. Now, I don't believe in a such thing as an apostolic succession of, you know, like Peter and Rome and all those things. However, I don't run from that apostle being a sent one. That's what it means to be a sent one. We're going to send Brother Russ out. He'll be a sent one. No, exactly. Exactly. I didn't say apostolic power. There's a difference in those two. But the term apostle, sent one. Amen. That's what it means. We understand there's a difference in the 12 apostles. Obviously. God made that distinction, even though a lot of people don't. And God has sent some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets. Amen. Oh, prophets that go out there and scream and cry aloud. Amen. Spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Amen. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No. He's asking you a question now. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Nope. Don't have to be either. Do you get what he's saying? They don't have to be. That doesn't mean there's no value to you if you're the uncomely feet. Can't walk without it. Need them. Oh, my! I'm not important because I'm not the hand. Oh, no. You're important. You're important because God set you there. Don't you get it? It's the same thing in a home. People are told today that, well, unless a lady needs a career and she's got to go out and she's got to, you know, fulfill and seek out all and be fulfilled in education and career and have this job that makes her stand out so she can, you know, feel good about herself. Really? No, a lady is important taking care of her children and raising her children and guiding the home and loving her family and loving her husband. Why? Because God placed you there. That's why. And that's where the glory comes in. Don't you see? It says those uncomely parts are much more comely. God makes them comely. Why? Because He sets you there for that purpose. There won't be any pastors without wives. Right? Gotta have moms. Or else we kind of have a people problem. Amen. It's the way it works. See that? It's very simple. But what's being sold today to a lady is come out from that and be glorified over here. No, you're not being glorified. You're being used. That's the difference. God makes it comely. God bestows more honor because He's the one that places Him in the body. Thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Of course not. Have all the gifts of healing? Nope. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? By the way, nothing is promised in the Scriptures that all of those gifts would continue. In fact, they're going to cease. But we don't have time to really probably cover that. Because I thought I was going to be done, but I'm not done. I'm done with this chapter pretty much. But on Wednesday, I think we'll move on to chapter 13. And then we have to get into Ephesians because I'm not done with the body yet. So we will probably have part 3 on Wednesday. And I will cover chapter 13 and chapter 14 a little bit. Or chapter 13 and then Ephesians chapter 4. Well, and because all those go together. All of those line up together on this subject. But he says here, are they all the same? No, but they're all in one body. You can't all be the same. Listen, a body's not going to work if everybody wants to be the pastor. Not going to work. Everybody wants to be the bishop or the elder, and everybody wants to rule, and everybody wants to lead. Well, it's not going to work. Won't work. Why? Well, like they used to say, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Right? Too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Everybody's got a better way they want to do it. But when God puts you in the body, where did He put you? Amen? You may not always agree. You probably won't. You might have a better way. But you're not the one that He put there. So after you make after you explain the way that you think things should be, then let it go and leave it to God. And let Him do it. Amen? I mean, a bishop must be easily entreated. So you ought to be able to come and we ought to be able to talk about it. I think that we can talk about just about anything. I have with you. If we have the right spirit, amen, we're able to discuss it. But he says here, have all the gifts of healing. And then he goes on to say, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And then he says this, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Well, Wednesday we're going to cover that excellent way that he shows. And I'll give you a hint. The word charity pops up quite a bit in there. What's that got to do with it? Well, I want to leave you with this thought. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. What bonds the body together? what makes it work the way that it's supposed to. So it doesn't work in all parts, but it works together. Charity. And you're going to find out why when we talk about that, the body. We'll get into that charity. Then we'll get into the edification of the body in Ephesians. Because there's a goal here. The goal is talked about in Ephesians chapter 4 and at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the culmination. That's the goal that all this is supposed to lead to for that body. Why? Because, well, it needs to be in that direction as it goes out and it wars, which we'll talk about next week. All right. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you. It's so rich, Lord. There's so much in it. And we could just talk about it for hours and hours and hours and hours and never exhaust even a chapter of it, even a verse of it, Lord. Help us, Father, to understand these great truths that you've given us today. Oh, Lord, every part of the body is important. Every member of it is important. We all must work together. Help us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.